Okay, hey everybody, we are back with another episode. My name is Emma, as you know, and my co-host is
Marissa. Hey everyone.
But we have some other guests, as you can see, and for the people who can't, you know, see because you're just listening, we will love for them to introduce themselves, because today we're going to be talking all about finance. You know, that thing that we didn't really learn as much about? Even now, maybe. So this is really important.
We still don't know much about.
Right. This episode is a two-part series. So if you want to know more about how to actually save in 2022 and the value of investing, and let's be real, how to invest, period, look out for part two. But for now, let's get back to part one.
All right. So my name is Quentin Gibson. I'm a senior securities trader here. I live in the Bahamas and I work at an investment bank called RF Bank and Trust. Hmm. Basically, I'm the money guy.
Okay. Money guy. Welcome.
And hi, I am Delia Wright. I am the accounting manager for the bus company in Jamaica Urban Transit Company. And I have been doing education in finance, economics, and business. That's my entire portfolio. And I got into this because I just want to see a lot of people pay more attention to finances and to generate a lot more wealth for people of color and Caribbean descent.
Whoop, whoop. All for that. Generating more wealth.
Yeah.
So let's just get into it, because I know y'all really want to know what y'all should be doing, should have been doing, and what you can start doing. So the big first question is, when should you start working on your finances?
Well, I actually started working on my finances when I was about 20. It was about the time I got my first job. I was in college and I was, trying to figure out how to keep savings. So the best time for anybody is as young as possible, from the first time you start working. That's not possible for everybody. And so mm-hmm. if you have not started yet, the best time to start is today. And the biggest hurdles you will have to get over is, one, the guilt of not starting before, rushing to achieve everything that you see everybody else has accomplished in the period that you have not started, and comparing yourself to others, people who started long before you. So once you accept that, hey, you're not in the same space as everyone before you, and you're starting now, and you're comfortable with where you're starting and your only goal is progress. Once you do that and you decide that, just move with your next step in life, you would have made the biggest shift in your mindset to propel you forward. So the first step you should do is just set some financial goals for yourself right now for where you are and start today.
I gotta agree with Dahlia. The best thing to do is to start as young as possible. I mean, even if you have like a high school job, start saving then. Just start as soon as you can. I didn't start at 20. I wasn't as responsible as Dahlia. But I did start still pretty young. I wouldn't say I didn't start, though. I didn't pay close attention to saving and investing. I'm also paid attention to just increasing my income. But once I actually focused on saving and investing, it made a world of a difference. And it made me extremely comfortable. I went from, I would say within a 12-month period, once I shift my focus, like she said, it's a mindset thing. So once I shift my focus to being more concerned with my savings and investing side of thing, I actually became more comfortable at work, because I was like, okay, if some things were to go haywire, I know that I'm at least set for a while, you know? But definitely start as soon as possible.
And that's one thing I would like to piggyback really quickly on. But I remember that when, because I started my schooling in the U.S. and I had to come back to Jamaica after about 7 years living in the U.S., I literally had to start all over. And I think I was working for about a year and a half when I came to Jamaica. And so I was spending, I was okay because I had saved and I was spending that money for quite some time until I could find something and start all over again. But one, it saves you a lot of things. But also when you talk about when to start working on your finances, know that if something should happen and it puts you back to zero, start when it's possible. And it's okay to have to start over again.
You saying like it's okay to start over, I think it's really important. And it also touches on like that guilt that a lot of people feel, because I think it kind of stops people from even wanting to think about it and wanting to start, because they feel like so behind. It's so hard to even like, does it even make sense? Everyone done has, like, they already have this set up, their portfolios, I'm so behind. It kind of makes it so, it makes it so difficult to feel like I could still do it. I could still get a piece of this. I could still save. And so I think just hearing that, like, it's okay to start over. It's okay to just accept that your journey is going to be different from others. And I think that's even something that we keep reiterating on the podcast too. So yes. I think just hearing that in terms of like the money journey, like how integral and how important it is, because that could hold you back.
You know what, why for it's sure. important now too? Because a lot of people have been wiped out in the COVID situation, and a lot of people are going to have to start over right now. Especially, and I've known people who've had to start over, and the struggle they've had emotionally, losing everything, and just not being able to get back on that horse. It's really important to know that it's possible to start over.
Yes. I think that's really comforting, and I love that you both mentioned also like so not trying to force yourself to quickly catch up to everybody else and removing that guilt, because it makes me think of, you know, young adults and the quarter life crisis. You know, we feel like we're so behind in everything and we stress ourselves out. And then we're trying to shift into maximum overdrive and get things done when really we're just burning ourselves out and making ourselves feel guilty. And like what Marissa said, it makes us not want to do it at all, because it's just very uncomfortable situation to now look at where you're seeing maybe some, where you think some other people are, and you're saying that there's a huge difference between that and where I currently am. But I love that you said that, you know, it's possible and you could start today.
Quentin, you were saying something too?
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say, when she talked about when you both talked about just focusing on yourself, because I actually wrote some I wrote a blog called Rules of Money. In that blog, one of the rules in there was a rule of money is to focus on your money and not everyone else's. So you won't really be discouraged to start if you don't think about everyone else. If you just think about yourself and bettering yourself and improving your savings day by day, month by month, you won't have that feeling of discouragement or feeling left behind, because you're not thinking about anyone else. I mean, it's easier said than done. But that is a rule of money, you know? It is a rule of money, unfortunately. So you have to kind of just focus on what you got going on.
Yeah, so true. So true. And I think even in that regard, you know, it's hard to think about savings if you aren't making the money to save, right?
Yeah.
So even when we think about, like, how we could focus more on ourselves and, you know, how we could kind of build up the funds to actually put these things into place, you know, I'm sure our listeners are trying to, they want to know, how could you even increase your earning potential to get to the point where you could be like saving comfortably?
All right. Well, I have a few things that I think, and I feel like one of the top ways to increase your earning potential is to either, again, you know, it's easy to say things, but starting a business or getting in a position where you're getting paid on results and not time is something that you could control. So I'll give you an example of myself. I actually started selling like rings on the side, and I was in control of that. Like I didn't have to spend, I didn't have to say, okay, if I work 2 hours, I'm going to make this. It's like, if I could sell 10 rings in 2 minutes, that's $500 profit. And once you start to think about money in that type of way, obviously it's like I said, easier said than done. But if you try to apply these concepts to your life, it make a heap of a difference, just as far as putting some extra change in your pocket as soon as possible. Now, there are other ways, like getting better jobs and, you know, furthering your education to create more opportunity for yourself. But one of my top ways is to try to create some opportunity for you to make money off of results versus time.
Completely 100% agree with that, because I think the upside for making more money is it's a lot more when you're focused on getting results for clients. For me, when I think about increasing your earnings, it's actually very personal to each person. So because there are so many different ways and we can't just tell you, oh, this is how you make it. I think it's your personal responsibility to go out and look for what way speaks best to you. Especially because I feel like if it doesn't speak to you particularly, you tend to start today and in a month's time, you're like, mm-hmm. stop, because maybe it's not making you enough money just yet. So I feel like there are some things you just have to make the journey very personal to yourself. What I would recommend is to work on improving yourself and your skills. So maybe you don't know what you want to do yet, but say there are things that could help you in your job. You can actually take the skills that you have bettered for yourself and your job to make money outside. Say you're in communication, mm-hmm. you can do it on the side for other people. So just improve yourself, your skills, improve your quality of work, improve your communication and efficiency, your proactivity and flexibility. And these are things that I am working on for myself as well, because sometimes I do consultations sometimes on the side, and it takes a lot of time management. So that's something I struggle with. Mm-hmm. So I know that's my goal, to improve that so that I can leverage it for more money in the future. The other thing that I would say is very, very important for earning more money is your network. So whether you're going to be going for a business, whether you're doing a side hustle, whether you want to move up the corporate ladder, like all of those things depend on a network. So maybe you're not ready to branch out like what he has done, or maybe that's not your niche just yet, and you're looking for different ways. If you can't find your personal way yet, I would say work on all those other things and get yourself ready for the opportunity when it comes. Because sometimes too, the opportunity comes and you're not ready.
I actually have a perfect example of myself of what exactly what she's saying. It's exactly what she just said. Firstly, I used to do poetry events. This is when I was just a tell I wasn't making much money and I needed a little more income. And like she said, it was personal for me because I started writing poems when I was younger, and it was just something I enjoyed doing. So it was a personal thing that I liked. And what happened was I said, okay, I feel like I am prepared to say these poems in front of people for money. So I started posting them on my Instagram page. And then I had to network with this lady who owned a restaurant. And if all of that hadn't come yet, if I hadn't already built a bit of a buzz for a person posting poems on my social media, the opportunity to actually have the event, it just lined up perfectly because I was ready to take it on. And I mean, that lines up perfectly with what she said. It was personal to me, and then I networked for it, and then also I was prepared for it once it actually came.
Yeah, it's so like it's that phrase, you know, you gotta stay ready, but you don't have to get ready.
Yeah.
Almost that type of mindset.
yeah.
The thing that sticks with me most with what you all are saying is, you know, making that journey for yourself personal. Because from a psychological standpoint, like when something is, it doesn't fit or it's too threatening for you, like you're deterred. Because, you know, your brain, I say this all the time, your brain is always going to want to protect you. And so now if this thing seems threatening to you, or like too out of your reach, or just too different, and it's not like the same thing that is likely, like the same thing you've been doing, your brain's going to say,
I don't really feel like it.
This is dangerous. What we're doing is good, you know, like we could continue being broke and it's fine. like it's not that bad.
We're not broke.
But, right. But if you break it up a little bit small into smaller steps, your brain will be like, okay, this is not so threatening. We could do this. And another thing you're showing yourself is that, okay, I can trust myself, and I can trust myself to do this successfully. So you're building up your financial self-confidence at the same time. And that's something that's so important. Another big takeaway that I think I got from all of you is something that we're sometimes discouraged from doing when we're younger, doing things that you enjoy. So maybe someone might have said, oh, poetry can't get you any money, or, you know, but this is something that you love doing. And it's likely that you're going to push harder when it's a personal journey. Even if you like, let's say you want to make slime. You know how many slime businesses there are? You know
they make a lot of money. Slimes. They make a lot of money.
I'm saying, my cousins watch slime videos 24/7. Blow my mind.
They love it.
Yeah.
What I'm also getting is like, you could start from wherever you are as well. So in Quentin's story and Dahlia's story, you know, it didn't cost you anything to network and to reach out to them and to send that email. And even for you, it didn't cost you anything to advertise on Instagram, your poems with the posts, et cetera. I think a lot of times when we think about coming up with a business idea or building on a skill set, we feel like we have to come out of the gate with like professional tools and, you know, everything on point, when really you could just, you could kind of do the best with what you have. Mm-hmm. And as you continue to build and you grow and you, you know, increase your earnings, then you could continue to develop your product a little bit more to get on that scale. Mm-hmm. And so it just, like Emma said, the journey is not only personal, but sometimes we don't need to feel like we have no options, you know?
Like those are so many awesome ways to, you know, thought up your earning potential and stuff. So what would you say is the main way that people attain wealth?
I think that's a very interesting question. And I think the primary thing to do with that is to distinguish between being wealthy and being rich, because there is actually a difference. So most people want wealth, but what they really want is what they really want is to be rich. So rich to me is it means you have a high income, like you can afford a lot of things right now. And obviously you want to be rich and have a big house and nice cars and trips and all of these things. But rich, it can be temporary. And rich only lasts as long as the source or like the high-paying job or the small business. It only lasts as much as that business or that job can provide. Wealth has to do with longevity, and it is slow, and it is about building assets, whether it's cash, stock, insurance, part of your portfolio, whatever it is, you develop that over time. And those are things that you pass on to your children, because they will generate wealth for them as well. So being rich will help you be wealthy faster. That's for sure. If you have the mindset to build wealth, because you can be rich and broke. As in, you can be high income earning and broke, which a lot of people are. But with that said, wealth just really simply means living below your means and making sure that you're slowly developing your asset base as a person. Now, what vehicle you want to invest in is your personal journey as well, because you could choose the small business, you can and to grow it larger. You can choose just stocks, you can choose real estate, whatever it is that you want to do. It's a personal journey. But the primary thing that's going to get you to wealth is your mindset. Because if you earn, and this is one thing I've seen in Jamaica especially, persons will earn a lot of money. They struck out, they got a business idea, they invested in it. By their 50s, ton of money. And then they're at a bar every weekend flossing. Or they have some young girl on the side that they're spending all their money with. And by the time they're they're like in their 70s, they're depending on their children to take care of them because they have spent everything. So they were rich. They don't have no wealth.
Yeah, I mean, nail on the head. Yeah, she spot on.
And I know even that comment you made about when they're older, they rely on their kids to help take care of them. Mm-hmm. Like, that's awesome. Yeah. We're the kids.
That's very prevalent in the Caribbean, all across the Caribbean. Yeah. It's like a story. Because a lot of, especially, unfortunately, especially for ours, they don't think that way. And sometimes it's because they don't know. And sometimes it's because that's not their priority. But either way, it still has the same effect. We don't have, especially for Black Caribbean persons, we don't have a lot of generational wealth carrying. And one thing I had at Trinidad, a sister that lived in Trinidad, and one of the things that she said was that they were, especially the Indians, they were a lot more family oriented in terms of taking care of each other and making sure everybody develops. We don't necessarily have that same attitude in other spheres. So really and truly, it takes a village, which is why part of it is networking is important. And it just takes a whole mindset shift that a lot of us in the Caribbean don't tend to have.
Yeah, for sure. Like she said, it's mainly mental. But how I would describe like wealth and what she said is accurate, though. But how I would describe it is like being rich is like you can afford nice things. But if you stop working, it kind of ends there. Like you have to find another way. But if you're wealthy, you don't have to really work. Like your money is actually working for you. Like the term money working for you is not just like something you hear and it's not real. It actually exists. You know, like passive income is a real thing. And that's what wealth is. Wealth is like you could stop working and still live your same life as if you were working versus being rich. If you stop working, it kind of ends there and you have to find another source of income.
Yeah. Wow. There is something called a wealth ratio in one of Robert Kiyosaki's books. And wealth ratio is how much of your passive income covers your monthly expenses.
Lifestyle.
Your lifestyle expenses. And a lot of us, we don't think of it that way because I know for sure my passive income has not reached there as yet. at least it's something that I can consider when I'm building my portfolio. So by the end of my life by the time I reach retirement, God's willing, that wealth ratio is significant enough where I don't have like, hey, retirement, hey baby, I don't have to worry about anything, you know?
No, she's right. And I think that's also why I talk to a lot of clients and the first thing they want to say is when I start building out, talking to them about retiring, and I go straight to 65, they kind of be like, oh, I want to retire by 30. And I'm like, not to break it to you, but you're 25. You don't make enough money to retire at 30. Unless you plan on making millions of dollars over the next couple of years. It takes more than retiring early is not just, oh, I'm going to stop working and then live off of my savings. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time to build up a nice nest egg, a network that produces income. I mean, it doesn't have to take a long time, but it takes it's a strategy that you have to come up with to build up a nest egg that actually pays you something that you could live off of, and you don't end up touching the actual asset in itself. And that's what wealth is. Wealth is when you don't actually, your net worth isn't decreasing with every withdrawal, you know?
Quentin, I'm really hearing now, when you're telling these clients, like, I hate to break it to you. Like, all I'm hearing is just like, just hearts breaking, dreams shattering. Them just there thinking like, what? Like, this was my plan. What do you mean?
Well, you know what I say to that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to know. I'm interested.
So what I always say to that is, it's better I tell you now than for you to be 60 and find out.
That's true.
Because you could do something about it now. If I tell you at 25, at least you could change something. But if I don't say anything now and you're 65, you're like, oh, where's my money going? And you don't want to have to break the news to you. So, I mean, it you know, sometimes you have to break a few hearts. you know. But, you know, most heartbreaks lead to success. I feel like heartbreak can make you successful sometimes.
And I think, too,
that's my little philosophy on it.
I think, too, with media a lot, the media kind of portrays like it's so easy to start a business and it's so easy to become a million dollar earning business in a lot of time. And I remember when I was about 25 and I was thinking it was so easy. And so I would go to all these organizations and etc. And one of the things it sometimes, especially to make a business that earns that much money, you need a lot of investment capital. And either you're going to have it already or you're going to know someone who has it. And a lot of the times, the persons who know somebody who has it, it's usually a family member.
Yeah.
So if you don't have that, if you don't, and this is why reading other people's stories is very important, because you see their results. And they'll always tell you, oh, they're self-made and it's overnight success. And nothing like that happens.
The lies! There you go.
Even Bill Gates had significant investment from his parents. And he was a Harvard dropout or something like that. Like, it takes a lot to get there. So you're already high functioning. And to get to where you are. And then he had the network. He went to Harvard and he went to a private school with a lot of parents, children, his friends' parents who were making a lot of money. So he had access to the investment. Do you have that? You need to be very realistic with yourself. They had to start. Do I have it? If not, no worries. I can start working on it. I mean, you can't work on resetting your childhood, but you can work on the network. You can work on getting yourself into the social areas where a lot of investors are or something like that. But to get through to investors, you have to have something to show them. Otherwise, why would they trust you? And we were talking a little bit about inventing Anna before the show.
I might have a story. Her name is Anna Delvey. Or Anna Sorokin, no one's sure. She's either a rich German heiress or she's flat broke. The charges are insane.
Anna committed real white-collar felonies while posing as a socialite in an attempt to steal millions of dollars.
One of her problems was she didn't have a prior business. And so initially when she reached out to everyone, a lot of people were like, I don't know you and you don't have any prior experience. So those things will hinder you every time. So even if you want to make it, you're not there now, work on all the other things that are going to get you there. So maybe you're not going to get there at 25. Maybe you're going to get there at 45. And maybe you're going to be like the Kentucky guy who got there at 65. It's okay to move at your own pace.
Yes. It's amazing I've never actually met her, but we like most of what she is saying, like it resonates. We never spoke before, but at the same time, we both understand what it actually takes. And it's like, I get it. Like everything she's saying is so true.
Yeah.
You hear that, listeners? We got that unity going on here.
And I think even just listening to that whole thing about having that, like the natural, like network, even like family wise, it kind of goes back to just the whole generational wealth. Because I think hearing your explanation about how wealth takes time, you know, so even the things that you're building up for yourself, you know, it's very likely that maybe your kids and the generations after you are going to be benefiting it less so than, you know, how much in my bank account right now, you know. And that really take like a mindset. Because if your parents aren't on the same page, if your partner isn't on the same page, if you're with somebody, or if you're around people who are just not in that mindset, the understanding of what wealth is versus, I want to go to the club, get some bottles, let's do this every weekend. It's really easy to see how, if you don't, like basically if you aren't having conversations like this, it's very easy to go your whole life not knowing some of the things that should be done. Because you know, in the Caribbean, we don't even like to talk about money. So I feel like I'm just soaking this. I'm soaking all this up, all this goodness up, really. Because it's just like, I never thought about the key differences in wealth versus being rich, you know, because we kind of use them interchangeably, you know, but the difference is striking. It really is different when you really sit down and think about it. And so,
It's just being rich is like a step before being wealthy. Like, you have to be rich at some point to get to wealth, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
I like, again, that we're saying we can start where we are, because the reality is not everybody is even like, okay, some people start with some extra, right? The generational wealth.
Yeah.
Some people are starting at zero, and some people are starting at minus whatever because they incurred debt from their family members.
Yes.
There have been stories where people's like parents have used their, for example, in the States, used their social security card number, taking out loans and these things. So now they're starting in the negatives.
Yeah.
And just knowing that, I think it helped with you being more compassionate and not feeling so guilty and knowing that, you know, I can start from where I am and it's not just over for me and this isn't just it.
Yeah.
So I think that's an awesome thing that you both have been, an awesome message that you both have been putting forward.
Okay, we're at the end of part one of our finance series. As always, we see you and appreciate you. Oh, look out for part two and make sure you rate, like, and share part one. It really helps us out. And if you're not following us already, follow us on Instagram at Adulted Loading Podcast.